Welcome to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. Straight talk, enthusiastic support, and heartfelt encouragement for you to open up to your sacred sexuality. And now your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Yay, my love, thank you. I'm honored, excited to be sharing on this show, and I look forward to exploring a bit more today. Each show, we explore some meditation, some getting in our body, some experiential awareness of just listening to who we are, as well as discussion, awareness, exploration on topics that sometimes are edgy, you know, sexuality, consciousness, and just opening up new possibilities, new explorations, and a way to really feel good about who we are. Because, wow, how important is that? You know, to know, wow, I am here on this planet, each of us, and that, you know, you are the only one that does you well. You are you, and you're here to do that in the most exquisite, fullest possibility, and you're the only one that can. So how cool is that? I'm going to begin today, as we do, with settling in and inviting us all to plug in and get in our bodies and take a few breaths to center and ground on this beautiful day. So let's start there. Inviting, closing the eyes if that's available for you in the moment. A breath, maybe an exhale with some sound. And really letting yourself plug in, notice, and breathe. Maybe at first you're noticing the way your body is organized. Are you seated or standing or lying down? Whatever position, can you take a moment to find some ease, to shift if the body's asking for a change? Check in. And then drop your awareness back to feel your midline. What is that for you? Maybe your spine, central channel. And just notice what that's like as we shift our awareness from, often it's up in the front of our body, in our eyes, and our frontal lobe of our brain. Can we drop it back? Can we notice that we have a space behind us, to the sides, above? And a space noticing the way we're relating to the earth, feeling that there is really a beautiful planet that we are here on and that we can't live without. And acknowledge with some gratitude and invite plugging in, allowing your tail to ground the root gates of your body through your pelvis, your pelvic floor to ground, maybe sending roots, whatever way that becomes a possibility for you. Settling and relaxing. And with that, a breath of gratitude and a breath to receive the divine, to receive this bright, beautiful light and energy, nourishment, and let yourself feel it. Let it sparkle through yourself. With a sense of, yes, more please. Like, what's that like to really go, yes, I would like to feel alive and here and now. And with the breath of gratitude for yourself, for taking time for you, for exploring this path today, for exploring listening to perhaps some new possibilities today. And with that, gently opening the eyes, coming back in, and give yourself a little wiggle. So today, this is a beautiful day. We are right at the summer solstice here in the Northern Hemisphere. So the solstice on this planet. And in the hemisphere, that is the time of light. There is so much light. And it's full bright days here at the moment where I am in Michigan. And even a full moon last night, and just the brightness of light that is so inspiring, and a time for like, wow, what is next? You know, what are the new possibilities? As we explored on this show back about 6 months ago, what was it like to release, to let go, to clear some clutter, to make some space for new possibilities? And now perhaps we're in that cycle where that abundance has some space to move in. And what are we asking for? What are we holding? I invite that as we move through today's topic, which I'm going to share. So today's topic, which I'm kind of excited about, just came up very recently as a question that was posed to me by a client who had worked with his physician and asked a question and was unable to give an answer. And so he posed it to me. And this is what the question was. What is the best diet for firm erections? I really don't want to take the blue pill. You know, I don't want to rely on that. I don't want the side effects. I don't want to have to feel what that does to my body. I want to find a new way. And so I was really excited to hear the question and to explore it a bit. And as I did, I realized there were a few key points. And I thought, wow, what a beautiful topic to share. So that is our topic for today. We're going to explore what is the answer to the question of what is the best diet for firm erections. And as we do, it may not look like what you think. So let's settle in for what this possibility is today. So as we ponder the question of the best diet, it opens up to me the very nature of food and nourishing the body. And what has become clear in my own journey is that there really is, the answer is not necessarily, oh, you should eat X, Y, or Z foods, that those are the ones, you know. And when there's research out there and things that talk about different sort of aphrodisiacs and things like that. And you can look and explore and find those bits of information out on the internet. What the approach I want to invite for today is a little bit different. It's not just, here, you know, eat this X, Y, or Z food, that's the magic bullet, because just like the pill, it isn't a magic bullet. There isn't this thing, this one, you know, if I take this pill or eat this food, that magically I'm going to have this shift in my erections or in my sexual arousal or in my connection with others. However, as I say that, I want to also say, yes, diet, the way we eat, how we nourish our bodies, absolutely drastically impacts our sexual energy, our ability to have erections, arousal, and to feel that sort of zaza that I call sex drive, as well as the capacity to feel the space and the opening and the allowing that I call sex ah. And we've explored that topic on a prior show, this nature of sex drive and sex ah. So to summarize that, what I mean by those two qualities is often we really get focused in our sexuality around drive. Like I have to be in this sort of driven place. Like where's that charge? Where's that horniness? Where's that intensity? And that I invite, there's both. There's two sides to that coin. There's the yin and the yang. There's the what I call sex drive and the sex ah, which is yes, the drive and the active principle of charge and arousal is a part of it, and the ability to relax and open and allow that charge and that energy to move and have space is another really equally important part of it. And let's explore for a bit what the answer to this question is with that concept, that it's about not only supporting drive in the body and arousal, but space. So I want to invite that rather than thinking of this as a single food or a single diet to be named, we're going to explore this as a couple of key points. And I want to point out that I have done a lot of personal work around food and nourishment and made some really significant changes in my diet that I've chronicled a bit in a blog. I'll call it, it's a short book. If you think of it as a short book, instead of a long blog, I think it's a wonderful read. and it's just, it is, it's a lengthy blog, and there's such rich information in there. I've gotten some feedback that people really liked reading through it, that it drew them in. So I encourage you to check out at leslieblackburn.com. If you go under publications, that you'll see my blog is there, and there's a blog entry called something to the effect of exploring my food journey, or the food journey with orgasmic results, something to that effect. And there I detail quite a bit about what I'm going to touch on in this answer. And that is, what is it like to really eat in a way that supports and nourishes my body in the way that my body, unique time and place in space, is asking for? And that's one of the keys to this. So when we ask about, like, what foods can I have that are going to support me in this way, what I come back to with folks is, yes, there are some keys, and we're going to talk about those. And what does your body have to say? Because what my body has to say will look completely different than what your body has to say, or what your partner's body has to say, around the nature of what supports it in its fullest. And now, yes, there are some trends and themes. We're all human, so there's that nature of the humanness in us and what supports human. And then we're all unique. So listening uniquely to what our own body has to say, to me, is kind of the core to really finding and aligning with what serves us in our fullest. And so I thought of this as three key points. So let's touch on those key points. So the first is, if we think about food as what literally our body uses to build our cells, and literally to build the sexual hormones that course through our body, we bring in nourishment and nutrients that are the building blocks for those sex hormones, for the cells of our body, for our blood, for our bone, for our organs and tissues. Our body regenerates constantly. And it's the food we eat that it uses as the brick and mortar, you know, as the pieces, which is, brick and mortar is actually a little bit too solid of an analogy, but it works, because we're such fluid and spacious beings. Our bodies are mostly made up of water and mostly made up of space. So what we're doing is building, like, these fluid structures that ebb and flow with the rhythms of life, with the rhythms of earth, with the rhythms of our bodies and the moon and the cycles that we know of more, you know, we more often connect with the cycles of, like, day and night, or even months or even seasons, but that there are cycles and cycles of breath, of respiratory breath, of heart rate. And there are cycles and rhythms in the body that are even much, much longer than the ones we often connect with. So it's, you know, really starting to bring awareness that our bodies are fluid, changeable, we're rebuilding them constantly, can help us, I think, has really helped me give myself permission to recreate my body. The awareness that, yeah, okay, I did a lot of things to my body that weren't so good for a long time. And that included binge drinking back years and years ago. And if I got hung up in, well, I did all this binge drinking, so I was really hard on my body and it did all these horrible things, then, and if I stay stuck in that, then I'm going to think that that's going to affect me for the rest of my life. Instead, if I go, wow, you know, I'm finding completion with that, and I can remap and repattern, and I can love my body in a new way, and I can bring in nourishing foods and water, and I can start to literally rebuild and remap these pieces that maybe I thought I had hurt or done damage to. And that's real, and I've seen it. I've seen it in my own body. I've seen it in others. And so we can, you know, this first point I want to make is really that if we think, repattern our awareness of food as not just what's a set of stuff that somebody else is going to tell me to eat to be good for my body, and think of it more as what are the ingredients that I want my body built from, you know, that I want to be used as the structures and forms and hormones and bones and blood. Like, what do we want to be built from? And that's a big shift. And for me, that was not an easy shift. And I talk about that a little bit in the blog, some of the changes for me that was. So that's the first point, is let's bring in some healthy building blocks. And that is going to give us a little bit of structure for the answer to the question around diet. Then the second point is we can bring in those healthy building blocks, but we also need to actually receive them. So, and this is kind of still part of part one here, point one. I'm going to say bringing in the building blocks and inviting the body to be in a state in which we can actually digest, receive, and take on these nourishing building blocks, these foods that will help us rebuild. And I want to give that caveat to that first point, because I realized one of the things that happened in my own journey last year, as I started to rebuild and really work with my body in ways that I didn't even know it needed, which is part of the story. Like, wow, I sort of stumbled upon this as an intuitive shift in food that made a change to my body that was so big. I went, what? Like, I didn't know you were allowed to feel this. And this is, you know, this is coming from me at a time in my life where I was eating what I would have called fairly well. And yet the change that I made a change in my body so big that I just couldn't even believe that it was possible to feel this good. And this one example that I'm giving, and I describe it more on the blog, is when I eliminated dairy. So again, this isn't about everyone has to eliminate dairy, and we'll come back to that. But in my case, it was important for me to eliminate dairy, and it was one of the last things I was ever going to consider eliminating. Like, I didn't drink milk anyway because I was lactose intolerant, so milk wasn't a thing for me. But man, did I love my cheese. You know, cheese, what, don't tell me that I have to give up cheese. You've got to be kidding me. And as that emerged at a time where it already released many other things from my diet, and a beautiful friend was so compassionate. He was just like, you know, hey, you know, give up cheese for a week. Just see what happens. What does your body say? And I did. And at about day 10, actually, I think it was about day 10, I had what I call the epic poop. Like, my body started processing and actually digesting and moving food through my system in a way that I hadn't experienced before. And I didn't even realize it had been a problem. I mean, I knew some of it was. That was part of why I was looking to shift. But there were facets of my body changing that woke me up to see that I was tolerating levels of GI discomfort and dis-ease in ways that I didn't need to. So my point with this point one is, let's bring in the healthy building blocks. But what I learned in my process was I actually wasn't getting the full benefit from many of my foods. And I did some testing and things that showed this. But my gut body was so compromised that while I might have been eating fairly well and continued to, not everything that I was eating was I getting the full benefit from. And things like, in particular, as a specific example, there were times where my poop was floating, like stools were floating. I asked my practitioner about this, and she said, oh, that can be a sign of maldigestion. And what we learned was, yeah, my body was not processing certain fats and foods. So what that means is, you know, as we say, well, oh, you're not processing fats. Well, maybe that's a good thing. You know, I can see me in the past thinking that, like, well, that's not so bad if I'm just passing fat right out of my body. Well, no, it is bad because we do need a healthy ratio of fats in our body. It's how we build our brain. Fats are crucial in the construction of sex hormones in the body. So as we're talking about our sexuality and feeling that charge or getting those strong erections, our sex hormones are a facet in that. And if we aren't getting the foods, first of all, into our body, but then, you know, number two, if once they're in there, we are not digesting and pulling and getting those beautiful resources from our foods, and it's just passing on through, then we're missing some of the beautiful benefit of the food, of the nourishment. So what I learned in my body was, as I had moved through life in what I'll call typical American style, in my old days, eating a lot of white flour, refined foods. You know, I loved pizza. I loved breads. I loved pasta. I loved fettuccine Alfredo. You know, anything with like dairy and cheese and bread. Like, oh, these were favorites of mine for years in the past. And that in combination with other things, and who knows all the reasons, but my gut body had become compromised. The drinking, I'm sure, had an impact on that, but a lot of things. And what was starting to happen was, I wasn't processing foods. And let me be clear, it wasn't showing up as super overt things. In fact, part of the kind of irony in this, as I've navigated now in the realms of some alternative medicine as well as traditional medicine, when I've been in the offices of some allopathic specialists around these questions, they look at me like, why are you here? You're healthy. Like, they're so used to seeing people that are such at an extreme in health of being, you know, in serious conditions with gut body, that to look at me who was there trying to feel good and to feel better and dealing with some very specific symptoms, but for them, like, no big deal. You know, everybody deals with that. I just don't buy into that. And I found that my capacity to sort of advocate for myself, like, no, we're allowed to feel good and we're allowed to make changes that feel good and support our sexual energy. And these things aren't as high on the, what do I want to say, as high on the priority list often in our allopathic medicine community, you know, the traditional doctor scheme. So what happens is we go to the doctor as adults and they're like, yep, you know, we run the tests and they have this huge range of what they consider as good results for testing, which isn't necessarily the right match to reality, as I learned from some alternative practitioners. And so it'll be just like, yep, you're perfectly healthy. Check, you know, on to the next year. And yeah, you know, we are. And we have the capacity and the possibility to make changes for even the better. And that part gets missed, because of the system's really set up for disease and disease maintenance instead of health maintenance. So it's a bit of a side topic, but related to this first point. So let's bring in the healthy building blocks, and then let's make sure we're actually retaining the nourishment from those by finding some balance in the body, and that might mean making some changes. So this brings me to my second key point. And that second key point is, I encourage that we need to reduce the noise in our system so we can even hear what our own body messages are, right? So I've said, hey, it's really important to not just go by somebody else's food diet or named, you know, well, I need to eat this food. Instead, can I make changes that support me? And then can I listen to what my own body has to say about those changes? And that's the hard part. Can I listen? Because often we have so much noise in the system. There's the body is the body messages are flooded over with things that are just like the chaff, the noise. We need to bring the signal to noise ratio up. We need to bring the signal up. And for that, we can bring the, if we bring the noise down, we're going to hear the signal a heck of a lot better. So there's my bringing it back to my engineering self. So now, what do I mean by that in reducing the noise? We're going to talk in a bit. I'm going to give some tips for that, for things to eliminate from our diet that can start to reduce that noise. So we'll come back to that. The third thing that I want to mention as these three key points that are our theme for feeling better in our body and really using diet and nourishment as a way to change our capacity of sexual energy for firm erections, for greater arousal, for more connection. So this third point is, let's create the space for the energy to move in the body. So if I summarize these three steps, what I'm talking about is the question originally was, what is the best diet for firm erections? I don't want to use that little blue pill. I want to start with the premise that firm erections and sexual energy and feeling arousal and feeling good in our body is all based on, can we access energy and can we create space for it to move and be seen and to begin to trust it again and to begin to really love and connect with these facets of ourself, our energy and our body. So to do that, we need to not only bring in the building blocks and be able to receive them, to build this beautiful body we're in, to have this container for possibility, but we need to reduce the noise so that we can actually listen to what the body has to say about it and create the space so that that energy and vibrancy as we access it has room, has space to grow and to feel. So to me, those are the three keys to supporting my body with diet in terms of the choices I'm going to make. Is it helping me bring in healthy food? Is it helping me, as a second point to that, is it helping me receive that food? Can I digest it in a new way, or can I bring it into my body more efficiently? Can I reduce the noise so I can listen to what anything has to say? And then can I really create some space, clear some clutter so that the energy that as I cultivate it can really spread and move and be alive, full body, not just genitally focused, but full body and genitally focused, like both. Like it's a yes and, right? Like, I want to feel that charge in my genitals, but wow, isn't it neat to also say I can feel that full body. So those are three points that we're going to build on with some examples in a moment. And I want to take a short break to do that. So as we do, take a breath and we'll be right back after this short break.
You are listening live to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. Today is Tuesday, June 21st, 2016, and you are listening to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. If you'd like to talk with Leslie live on the air, give us a call at 646-378-0378. That number again is 646-378-0378. Reminder that Leslie has a brand new website. It's a new and improved website, and it's even mobile friendly. You can check out radio podcasts, video podcasts, and more free resources at leslieblackburn.com. The website also has the full event schedule, the mailing list sign up, and you can also contact Leslie there for speaking engagements or for private sessions. Leslie also has a Tantric Energy Touch workshop available on CD. Have you ever wanted to attend a class but were a little nervous about the group setting? Explore a live Tantric Energy Touch class in the comfort of your home, with a partner or by yourself, with this audio CD. Order online at the website. The best way to get announcements about upcoming events as well as inspirational stories, videos, and radio show archives is to subscribe to the email newsletter by clicking on the link on the website, leslieblackburn.com. Also, announcing Leslie's new monthly Sacred Sexuality video cast. You can choose your level of involvement, whether you want to be a part of the conversation live or sit back and take it in. See details at the website to join in. The next one is Wednesday, July 6th at 10 a.m. Eastern. And finally, reminder that Leslie is available for speaking engagements and for private sessions. More information at the website. Again, that brand new website is leslieblackburn.com. And now, back to your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Yay! Thank you, sweetie. Ah, beautiful.
Hey.
I love you.
I love you.
So, as we continue on today's topic, exploring the answer to what is the best diet for firm erections, that, I don't want to use that little blue pill. Is there another way? And yes, there is. And we've been exploring some key points to how do we select and work with a diet that will support our sexual energy and our vibrancy in our body. And we talked about some three key points. And now I want to explore some tips in the realm of those three points and things to consider as we negotiate listening and navigate listening to our own body, which can be hard to do. Our bodies contain the wisdom of the universe. So it's really profound to start to recognize that we really can get the information we need from within. And yet often, in my experience and what I've seen as I've worked with many, many clients, is in my own personal experience, I'll just speak from that, is, gosh, we have a lot of noise going on. You know, there's so much, so much happening that the messages, the authenticity of the voice can be swallowed up in some of the noise. And so giving ourselves permission to drop away some of the noise can be really helpful. And in the realm of food and in body nourishment, what I believe to be some of the noise are some of these things. So what I saw in my own journey, and again, this is, I've detailed this in a lot of specifics at my blog, which is at leslieblackburn.com under publications. And it's the food journey blog. And what I've noticed was some things naturally started to fall away early on that are what I'll call noise. And that what I've found is, and also just to speak it, this is over like decades that I made some of these changes. This wasn't like an overnight, I made this huge click of a switch and cut out a whole bunch of stuff and changed my diet. That can be almost too overwhelming sometimes for the system. I think bodies can handle one piece at a time, and then sometimes bigger chunks at a time. So when I got to a point last year, I did make a huge change where I eliminated a bunch of stuff and did a huge chunk all at once and then reset. And we'll talk about that. That for me was really supportive. But in the answer to this question, doesn't mean that that's what you have to do. It's consider all these little possibilities and feel out which one's right for you in the moment. Now, a couple key ones that I think are first up, like eliminating processed foods and what I'll call non-foods. And they create noise. So things like pop, soda. They're really, typically in most soda, is zero nutritional value. Like there's nothing that we're getting from those drinks that has any true whole food support in terms of building blocks for the body. And we've just gotten in the habit. You know, it becomes a flavor thing. It becomes a time of day thing. It becomes this caffeine boost. There's all sorts of reasons we get hooked on it. And I was hooked on Diet Coke for years and drank a ton of it, multiple cans a day. And just really, when I finally gave that up in the early 90s, I was kind of blown away. I gave it up for various reasons, but just kind of like going, this isn't feeling good. And I didn't realize some headaches that I'd been dealing with like daily just lifted, like poof, no more headache, you know. But these drinks can be really, really subversive to the body because when we bring in things that aren't giving us nourishment, they take up body resources so that the body can't work with things that do. So I really encourage that if you're drinking soda, you know, these different, to name brands, like I said, Diet Coke was the one I drank, and certainly that's one. Mountain Dew is one that I've seen a lot of teens really in drinking a lot of that. I really encourage dropping these. Give yourself some space. Now, will that be easy? No. Your body's used to it. Your body wants it. You think that it's an authentic message that I need this for my body because if I don't drink this thing, I get this pounding headache or whatever. You've got to give your brain a chance to rewire. So I talk about this as giving at least 21 days that to create a new pattern in the brain and the body, you're unwinding an old one and giving a new one a chance to settle in. That's not going to feel easy, but I encourage and really can't underscore enough how important it is to give yourself a chance to do it. When you know there's something you want to let go of, pop, for example, or other processed foods, right? Cheetos, that was one for me. Or other just snack foods, right? If you look at the ingredients, just look at the ingredients. Like, don't even, it's not even about the brand or the name. But if you take a peek at the ingredients of anything that you're consuming, and you see just ingredients, don't even look at the nutrition label. Like, frankly, I don't look at that anymore in terms of fat grams or carb grams or protein or blah, blah, blah. You know, set that aside for a moment. Just look at the ingredients. Is it food? You know, food are things that grew in the ground that you can name. You know, a turnip, carrot, you know, zucchini. But when you see, like, all these chemical names, which I can't even think of at the moment, but monosodium glutamate being one, any kind of these chemicals, you go, wow, that's not a food. And that's what I encourage. Like, just take a peek. And if what you're consuming has a lot of these things that are non-food, that's, again, putting things in your body that's making your body use resources to deal with them in some way, and often in a toxicity way. So they're like, what's this thing that's not food, and having to process it to get rid of it. That's what I mean by noise. So when we talk about reducing the noise, eliminate some of the stuff that's just creating noise. And these processed foods are a first great example. Anything with artificial colors, artificial flavors, even the phrase natural flavors, beware of. There can be things hidden in that phrase. So letting yourself just really start to notice the ingredients of what you're bringing in your body. And if you're bringing a lot of that in, that's a good first start. Just drop some of those away. And if it feels like too much, do some of them. Reduce it down to maybe one thing a day that's got, you know, random ingredients in it. So for me, as I gave those up, that made a big difference. And some of that was finding alternatives. So I'll just give an example. My Cheetos, which I was a huge Cheeto fan. I used baked crunchy treats that were like the off-brand of Cheetos, but the ingredients were actually somewhat reasonable. They were foods, and without all the preservatives. That was for me, that was a helpful shift. Like, it gave me the crunchy fix. It gave me a little bit of the flavor fix, and it was helpful. You don't have to do that. You could just, you know, release the things that don't work. But that was really helpful. I've since released even those, because what I realized was, even though they were, you know, foods named, they were still so highly processed that they've moved so far beyond their natural state that's another layer. But let's start with the first layer. That for me, that was huge, to just start with the first layer of crazy things that aren't food and bringing those in the body, getting rid of those. So that's part of clearing the noise. The next tip is, instead of saying, well, you should have food A, B, or C, I'm going to say, have food. So I'm going to define food as real, whole foods that work as close to the creation from the earth as possible. So instead of the pre-made packaged thing that has a bunch of preservatives in it to keep it packaged, can you buy the separate ingredients and make it? Now, some people will say, but I don't have time for all that. Well, yeah, it is going to be a shift in some time, likely. But there are ways to support yourself in finding some ease and convenience in eating whole foods. It's a rhythm. You've got to get used to the rhythm. The rhythm involves being aware of and getting those foods in a timely way. I have some great tips for that. One is, I have a door-to-door organics order. Shows up right at my back door. I get a box of organic produce plus anything staple-wise that I've ordered from their store, online store, shows up at my back door. I don't even have to go out shopping for that. And that's a huge time saver, to have the produce show up right at my door. And so now it's just a preparation question. And that type of thing. So there are ways, if you're feeling called to eat differently, and to nourish your body in new ways, ask and plug into your own body for some support on what does that look like. What are some tips that you can use to support eating better? And that's literally what I did about 10 years ago when I found door-to-door organics. I was like, okay, spirit, I'm getting this hit. You're telling me I need to eat better. This is about, again, a decade ago. And I'm like, I want to eat fresh, healthy salads. Like, I love that. Or I want to eat these great vegetables, fruits. But how do I do that? At the time, I was in corporate life. I had every second of every day planned out. I didn't have extra time. And when I asked, it showed up. And that's how I stumbled into, literally, spirit presented in a synchronicity, this service. And there are other services too, local CSAs, ways to get healthy food in without having to do the legwork of shopping if that's part of what stresses you out. So eating, so the tip being eating as close to whole real foods as possible. And so if you use that as a rule of thumb, that really points you in a good direction because it's going to start to go, oh, do I eat, you know, do I make a choice where I'm having this prepackaged thing and it has all these extra ingredients like preservatives and things that I don't need? Or could I have this, you know, set of foods that maybe from a hot bar or like at the People's Food Co-op, for example, in Ann Arbor? Oh, fabulous. They have great whole options and you can put them together yourself. All the ingredients are listed for the hot bar items. You can make healthy, clear choices on what you're getting. That's, to me, what's more important than the specific thing. So that's eating as close to whole is another one. And then there's a couple other tips for reducing noise. Now, this gets into eliminating even more stuff. Eliminating sugar, for example. But with any of these, feel it out. Like, what are you going to know? Is there something that you just know you eat a lot of? You know, I had someone tell me, well, I've been tested and seen to be pre-diabetic. Okay, so then let's look at the refined flours and breads and pastas and sugars. And is there a way we can shift that? And if by eating something that is like bagels, well, I really like bagels because they fill me up, right? They're filling. Okay. So what's filling for you? Let's explore another way to get filling rather than the processed food. So maybe filling could be roasting some cauliflower with some salt and pepper and olive oil. And now you have like roasted cauliflower available at your fingertips because it's in the fridge and it's already roasted and you just pull it out. You could heat it up really quick or eat it cold, but you've got this great filling snack or a part of a meal where it's accessible. You've made it ahead of time. It's now available. It's there in the fridge at your fingertips. So it's accessible and it's filling. And now it's whole food. It has three ingredients, cauliflower, sea salt, black pepper, olive oil, you know, or whatever other seasonings you want to put on it. But it's simply that. It doesn't have all of the other chemicals or preservatives. And so that eating whole becomes convenient and filling, which was the thing that person was looking for example, from the bagel. So it's kind of like look at what it is for you that comes up. For me, there were various things that came up with different pieces. And something I thought I would never consider giving up was chocolate. That chocolate was, oh my gosh, I need chocolate every day. It was an addictive thing for me. It was what I've now come to know. It was like my way to get a little caffeine boost. It was a way to get a little bit of that sort of hit of like spark. Like chocolate has this loving kind of like woo zing to it. And I just was in love with that. And what I found out when I released it, and I'm not saying you have to give up chocolate. Chocolate actually in its pure healthy form is a really wonderful food if in balance and if right for your body. What I learned was, it's not right for my body, at least not right now. And it was causing anxiety. It was causing occasional sleep difficulty. It was causing wound up tissue. So I would be like feeling zingy and like I couldn't lay down. If I laid down, my right shoulder would be sort of hunched up by my ear and I'd be trying to go to sleep and wondering, why am I holding my right shoulder up by my ear? That kind of thing. And when I released it, among other changes, those stressful, wound, tight, bound moments softened and dropped away. So again, what I'm not saying is you have to do all these things that I did, or that you have to give up chocolate, or you have to give up sugar, or you have to give up dairy. But I will invite some tips, reducing or eliminating sugar, seeing how that feels. Another tip would be take a look at dairy. What is it like? Give yourself permission. You can do it, to give it up for like 2 weeks, just 2 weeks. What happens? How do you feel? If after that 2 weeks you're like, well, no different or whatever, then great, eat it. Maybe that isn't something that you need to release from your diet. It was for me. But that it becomes now, again, a question I want to come back to is, what does your body have to say? Because mine is only one path, and yours is your unique path. So the answer to this overall question that we're exploring today is, you know, what is that best diet for firm erections, or what I'll call for really supporting our sexual arousal? And that the answer is in you. Your body knows what balance of foods and support it needs for its fullest, greatest connection in vibrancy and health. And foods are a part of it, a huge part of it. Drinking a ton of water, I would say, you know, in addition to the tip of eliminating sodas and you know, refined stuff, is to drink more water. The guidelines that I've seen say take your body weight in pounds and divide it in half. So say you're 150 pounds, half of that is 75. So 75 ounces would be how much water a day to drink for a 150 pound person. And you can modify that a little bit for your needs, but notice that 75 ounces, like that's a significant amount of water. And that's about what I choose to try to drink a day, which is roughly 3 or 4 of my water bottles. You know, so I have a frame of reference of what does that mean? And am I getting that much? And that supports our body in its fluid nature for anything else. You know, if there's one thing, like if there's one thing out of all of this that I could invite you to do, that would be it. To shift whatever you're drinking to being water, pretty much water only, although there are some natural teas or herbal teas or herbal infusions that I talk about in another blog of mine. But if you just, for simplicity's sake, say get rid of all those other things you're drinking and just drink water and drink enough of it, you know, 75 to 100 ounces, you're going to find a huge change in how your body feels, and supporting it with a really basic building block that it needs, water. So in all of this, letting yourself really explore what your individual needs are by following those tips. Like what are the healthy building blocks I can bring in? Water, whole foods, nourishing ingredients. Reduce the noise so I can hear what the heck my body has to say. So eliminate some of the sodas or the processed foods, or the gluten can be another factor for many people. So that shows up in anything wheat. It shows up in a lot of other things besides just that. So it's something to really pay close attention to. And that can be a huge impact in how your body feels. And just getting rid of those things to start to listen and then create some space. And part of that creating a space in my body for me meant releasing sugar, releasing dairy, releasing gluten. All of those things gave my pelvis and my body, but specifically my pelvis, literally more clarity, where I could eliminate. And things like I talked about the epic poop, like I'm not kidding. This is a really important thing if we're talking about sexual energy. Sexual energy, you know, sort of that building of erotic aroused energy in the genitals is right in the pelvis. In the pelvis is also where we digest and eliminate. And so if the elimination process is so bound up that they're so, it's literally quite full of physical matter, right? Then where's the space for that energy to move? So literally letting yourself have a clear, clean digestive process supports your sexual energy. And again, for me, that meant eliminating sugar and gluten and dairy, among other things. That isn't necessarily what I'm going to say everyone has to do to feel this, but it is some options. And it is, what does your body have to say about your process and what feels right for you? So with that, I'm going to take another short break, and we're going to come back with a couple of final tips and a breath.
Thank you for joining us today. You are listening live to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. Reminder, Leslie has a new website. It is leslieblackburn.com. It is new and improved and even mobile friendly. Check out radio podcasts, videocasts, and more free resources at leslieblackburn.com. Reminder, you can also sign up for her email newsletter there, and there is information about her next videocast, which is Wednesday, July 6th, 10 a.m. Eastern. And finally, reminder that Leslie is available for speaking engagements and private sessions. More information at the website. And now back to your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Yay, thank you, my love. And now let's take a few breaths to let all this sink in. There's a lot that we explored today in terms of what can I do to support my body to feel good. So invite yourself to slow down, take a breath. Invite an exhale with sound. Let your pelvis relax, your root gates open. Feel your connection with the earth. And allow your body, maybe even bringing your hands to your lower belly, to really let this deep creative center of your body, your womb space, your creative center, the dantian, lower dantian, however you want to relate to this lower center in the deep pelvis, to drop your awareness there. And to drop a question there as you invite that space to connect with the earth. Lover Earth, please support me to connect my body to you. And then dropping the question of, what one thing can I do with my diet, with my food, with nourishing my body? What one thing can I do that will support my sexual vibrancy and aliveness? Drop that question right into your pelvic bowl. Let it rest there. And listen for the answer. As you get the answer, either now or later, as you've planted this seed, share deep gratitude. Gratitude, gratitude. Thank you, thank you. I'm going to do my best to honor and listen to the message. And when you hear that answer, even when there's a piece of you that's like, no, that's not the thing I'm going to do. No, I can't possibly give that up or shift that. Just remind yourself, yes, you can. And give yourself and give your brain a chance. Make a commitment to do it for 3 weeks. What's that like? Just 3 weeks. To make a shift and see how it feels in your body. With a breath of gratitude for yourself, for taking time for you, and for the earth, for holding us safely, and for spirit. Gratitude, gratitude. The divine light in me sees and honors the divine light in each of you. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us today for Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. If you would like to contact Leslie, please visit her website, leslieblackburn.com. Leslie is also available for private sessions, and you can find out more information about this at her website, leslieblackburn.com. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and have a beautiful day.
Join us again next time for continued support on your path of self-realization. The power is within you to heal your body, connect deeply with others, manifest your heart's desires, and experience your deepest bliss. By our healing, we impact others, inspiring love for humanity and the planet. Thank you for joining us for Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn.